This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com, unscripted, uncensored, and radio. This is Sex Talk on Friday morning. It's just 5 minutes past 10 with John T. And Tamara is here. I need to put your mic on, then you can talk. Hey.
I thought it's still from the Zip Sex from last week. No, no talking there for you, booby.
There you go. How are you?
I'm so well, thank you. How are you, John T.?
You look really good this morning.
Thank you, but you have pointed the fact that I have a put my stockings on and I look like a hooker because I didn't notice that actually it's running all the way in the back.
Yeah,
so.
But it's in the wrong place.
Yeah, totally in the wrong place. Was I fucked in the leg? What am I? Greek god?
No, but as long as you can get a finger in anyway, you know?
Totally. And you know,
you can just rip it.
Exactly.
Here we go. An interesting start.
Yay! As always.
As always.
Not as our show today.
So this is fascinating. We spent some time in the week with a black dominatrix and a black submissive. So you think, is kink just a white thing? Is bondage just a white thing? What about the cultural backgrounds, the ideas that we grow up with about sex, about sexuality, about exploring the traditional roles of men and women, which in that community are often much more set, or so we think, than in our community? How widely spread is it? What's the interest? And it was really, really fascinating. So we are going to share that with you. It was just fascinating. And these are women who are feminists.
True. So that's the point.
Yeah. How do you be a feminist and a submissive? Mm. And the definition is always that I'm a black submissive, not just a submissive.
Yeah.
And in the world of pleasure, isn't it kind of supposed to be that that's what unites us? Kind of the bigger picture of pleasure?
I'm totally with you on that.
And it was just kind of absolutely fascinating. But let's do this first, because I really like this one.
Ninja sex. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
63.
Dirty dictionary word.
63.
You know when you try to do 69 and you're like not really getting there. And
a couple of inches short.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, no, you move up. No, you go down. No, you turn around. Yeah.
So 69 is the clue. Mm. 69 is the clue.
Okay.
That was an interesting one.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's share this interview that we did with you.
It's an unbelievable one.
And it was, we hope you enjoy it. And please send your comments in to us. We're in the studio on WeChat and we are on
Twitter,
Sex Talk underscore Cliff C.
And we're going to chat to listeners while the interview is happening. And we have another surprise in the end of the interview.
Okay. So, Black Kink. Okay. So, we are here this afternoon with two very beautiful woman, and something really surprising and something very different. Black women in South Africa into bondage. Mm-hmm. Dee and Tsekgo, welcome.
Hi.
Okay, you guys have to talk really close to the microphones.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, that's a bit better. Okay. Really exciting. Because this is something that is not mainstream, that is not common at all.
You know, I wasn't aware that bondage and kink was even a thing until I first discovered it on Twitter, and it was through Dee and another one of her friends. So that was when I started, you know, trying to learn a bit more and finding out that there are quite a few black women who are into the same things that I am. And I started, you know, chatting to them and learning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dee, where did this start for you?
think it was just like a whole lot of experiences. You know, you do stuff and you experiment, but you don't really put a word
okay, you gotta come closer to the
name to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's pretty much, and I think it was only actually on Twitter that I discovered that it was called BDSM.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was just before the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing started.
So we all agree on that.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, it was very interesting to sort of, again, access that world, but through black women who sort of, I could be like, whoa, wait, what are you guys talking about? What do you mean? There's people like me who actually are into this stuff and it's not weird or, you know, out there.
Okay. So let's go back a little bit. How did you guys grow up? Did you grow up very traditionally? Because I'm just trying to put all this in a context. Mm. So how did you grow up?
I don't know. So my upbringing was, I think, normal in inverted commas. I don't know how else to bring it up.
Okay.
My parents weren't really big on speaking much about sex, but my dad worked within the NGO space of Planned Parenthood and things like that. So I knew a bit about his work, and I knew, I obviously was a very inquisitive child and I asked questions about certain things, but my parents and I never had that, you know, that discussion that most parents are supposed to have with their kids about sex and about this and that. I just got a book and it was about, this is how you can contract HIV and AIDS, so don't do that. So I think
it's kind of pretty standard in South Africa.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not to get pregnant and not to get HIV nothing about the pleasure or the possibilities.
Mm. So we never had those conversations with my parents. It wasn't ever a thing of, I grew up in a household that was very open about sex. Probably now it's a little bit, they're probably aware of the conversations that I'm having out there, but we still haven't had a conversation about it. So yeah, I don't know how it impacted me. Maybe because of the lack of it, I decided to venture out and find out more for myself.
So what was your first exposure to anything to do with bondage?
In porn.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you explore, and when you're learning about masturbating and pleasuring yourself, you explore porn, and I found all these things, and I was just like, okay, but this is like a whole bunch of white people, and this doesn't speak to me at all. So I then decided, well, when I joined Twitter was when I discovered that there are more black people and there are more people who look like me and who have the same politics as me, who are able to, I think, discuss kink and sexual pleasure in a way that I identified with more.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's, that brings up kind of an interesting little thought. Politics and kink and politics and sexual behavior.
Mm.
That's kind of interesting as to where on the political spectrum people involved in kink might sit.
Mm.
And I guess it would cover the spectrum as well. So
I think I was just very lucky that the two women, Dee and another woman that I first originally started having the conversations about kink with, that I was learning a lot from, are feminists. And they identified as feminists, and they were black women who were very aware of them being black women within the space of kink and within the space of sexual pleasure. So I think I was just very lucky to get that information so early on and be able to interrogate the fact that just because I'm a feminist, it doesn't mean I can't be a sub within BDSM. Mm. So it was, I think I was probably just one of the lucky ones to find the information that I needed and wanted at that time, at the moment that I got it.
Okay. So is your identification more as a sub or as a dom?
As a sub.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dee, your identification is more as a dom?
A switch.
A switch. Okay. A switch, really. So for our listeners, just explain a switch.
So a switch is somebody who sort of goes between the two extremes. Mm. Some days, you know, the urge is to sub. Some days the urge is to be dominant. So I sort of, I allow myself the space to be, you know, flow between the two.
Mm.
And I think it works for me.
Okay. You know? What was your first exposure to kink, to BDSM?
Wow, an ex.
Okay.
But again, you know, I hadn't put a name to it. We just fooled around. Belts, you know, a bit of
asphyxiation.
here and there. And yeah, just sort of just trying out new things, you know, and it was never extreme. BDSM, but it was just light stuff, and then, you know, I realized, hey, wait, hang on, I actually kind of like this stuff, and then, yeah, again, went on Twitter, discovered a whole lot of really amazing women, who then also got me into the more psychological parts of BDSM, apart from just spanking and whipping and handcuffs and stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's the easy part, and anybody can do that.
Yes, and I think, you know, at the time, I think the default was I'm a sub, and then when I discovered the dominant, but the psychological aspect of being a dominant, I think that's when my interest was sort of like shifted a bit, and I wanted to learn a lot more about dominating and being somebody who is in charge, but psychologically and not just whipping and spanking.
Yeah.
And.
Okay. So two questions come up from what you've said. The first one is, what does it mean to be a feminist involved in this world as a dom and as a sub? So let's talk about that one first.
Do you want to start as a dom?
Okay. As a dom, what does it mean to be a feminist?
Look, for me, you know, when I think as a feminist, you know, everything is about choice. Mm. And for me, it's owning that power. And nothing makes me feel, you know, in a world where we exist, despite me being a feminist, despite me having agency over what I do and where I go and who I do what I do with, there's still a perception that I have to manage, if you will, that the world imposes on me. Mm. I'm a woman, I should be acting a certain way, I should be speaking a certain way, and I should be perceived a certain way. Mm. So to take that power and own it in a private space where I don't have to worry about, you know, being attacked for dressing a certain way, speaking a certain way, or being made to feel a certain way because of the way I am. Mm. I think there's a lot of freedom that comes with that. You know, you get to, in as much as, you know, again, I'm a feminist and I love that, I still live and I move in the real world, and not everyone understands or recognizes or acknowledges the fact that, you know, I'm an independent woman with agency. Mm. And it's the problem with when I walk down the street and it's after a certain time, I can't be dressed in a certain way. Otherwise, people automatically assume that I'm asking for something, you know. And to be able to own that power, it's a bloody good thing.
Wonderful.
You know?
Yeah. Tseho, what does that mean for you, being a feminist and being a sub? Because that's kind of an interesting...
Yeah, I get the question a lot where people say, but how can you allow a man to do these sort of things to you if you're a feminist? And like Dee was saying, it's all about the choice.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I am able to go into any sort of dynamic, whether sexually, whether just psychologically within the BDM space, I'm able to make that choice. And, you know, most people, I think, confuse BDSM with, no, you just want to get hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dom has the most power in that dynamic between the sub and the dom.
But the truth is, the sub has the power.
Exactly. Which is probably why I enjoyed it that much, because it was in a time where I was learning a lot about my feminism, and I was learning a lot about trying to take back the power that Dee was speaking about, and being able to take it back sexually in those sorts of dynamics made me love being a feminist even more.
Because that essentially is your self-definition more than anything else as a sexual being. That's where it sits.
So it was, for me, it was just all about being able to make that choice and, you know, being in a dynamic where I think initially with an ex, like Dee was saying, where we explored that a bit, and he always made it seem like, no, but I'm the dom, I should be making the choices. And I was like, I was reading up about this and that's not how it works. So being a feminist and being a sub comes in that space. It just allows me to have more choice. It allows me to have power in the choices I'm making sexually as well. So just, I think, having a sense of being aware of what's going on, being aware of how I feel about what's going on, and also knowing how far I'm willing to take it. So just, that's the basis of me being a feminist and being a sub.
Okay, fascinating stuff. The second question, what does it mean to be a black woman involved in this world in South Africa? Because you mentioned that.
It's tricky.
Yeah, it's not clear
cut.
You should
see their faces.
Yeah, because a lot of South Africa, you know, it's not clear cut either.
No, it's not. And how many times have people said, oh, these are white people things?
Yes,
all
the time.
But
which is the most absurd kind of statement.
Yeah,
but again, you know, you own it. You have to own it. It isn't about, you know, what people do and think. It's you. It's what you want. And, you know, I like it. I mean, there's nothing else to it, really. It's not it's not a phase. It's not a, I like it. It's what, it's who I am. It's part of you know, it's a non-negotiable in my life. So
interesting question, because the swinger community, for example, is not very racially open. There are elements that are more open, but a lot of it is kind of you're with yours and you're with yours, and that's kind of what it is.
Wow.
What's the story in the kink community?
I think in the kink, like the kink community within black spaces is very tricky to try and navigate, because there is that, I think, assumption that kink is a white people's thing. So when it becomes, like I was saying, we, Dee and I have had organized a kink event, and at the kink event, we were pleasantly surprised at the amount of black people who were there. And it was a lot of black people who came into the space thinking, you know what, I've been curious about kink, but there's nowhere for me.
So these were people who were just kind of curious,
exactly,
not actively participating or exploring. It was like a beginning of a journey for them.
Exactly. Okay. So a lot of them were that way. A lot, well, some of them, a few more, were people who are experience, but they were also struggling with the fact that where do we as black people then come together in a space where we feel comfortable enough?
Yeah.
We can let other people of races in, obviously, because we're not saying it's a black only space, but we need to then get to a point where we're not going to a kink space and feeling uncomfortable about our race. Like, we're all there to have fun. We're all there to enjoy the pleasure that comes with kink. So if I have to be aware of my race and aware of the fact that there are certain people who don't want me there, then why would I go into that space? So then that's why we decided, well, we'll create our own space.
That's, you know, that's fascinating, because it's a whole other dimension of for South Africans to come together. Because there's a commonality in terms of what we want to explore, of what we want to experience, being a dom or being a sub, being in that space. And, wow, it really opens some fascinating questions and ideas. It really does. And you know, it's always something that's fascinated me, because you would imagine that people who are sexually open would be religiously open, politically open, socially open, but they are not. And it's just that they might have sex with other people, and that's as far as it goes. You know, when I first started teaching in the world of sexuality, and I went to one of the swingers clubs, and I thought, this is fantastic, because I'm sure these people want to learn all the stuff and learn how to have more pleasure. And actually, they don't. They do what they do, and they might do it with a lot of people, but they do it again, and they do the same thing.
Same things,
and they don't really want to learn that much. And it was fascinating to see. Interestingly, though, people in the kink community generally do want to learn more, because they're exploring more. They're exploring sensation. They're exploring possibilities. So if you've always been a dom, you have an experience as a sub, it gives you a very different perspective. New sensations, new implements, all sorts of possibilities to explore.
Do you find more women in the kink environment? Do you find that it's couples made? Because I found that the sexuality is not necessarily linked with BDSM or with S&M experiences. How is your what is your impression?
I mean, I've had more experiences within kink with men, but I do prefer experiences with women, only because
sexual experiences or bondage experiences.
Sexual experiences. Okay. So I do feel as though, I mean, it's a common thing where men come into that space with their masculinity and coming in with their thing that I'm the person who's going to take control in the situation. So even within kink, where you would hope that people are aware of how it should work, there's still the masculinity side of it. So when I'm experiencing that with a woman, I feel a lot more comfortable. But my partner right now, he's a guy, but he is well aware of how I want things to be done. So even as the sub, I'm able to be like, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to, you know, what's going to make me happier within our dynamic. But then when I am with women, like, I don't want it to seem like that cliche thing that, oh, women just know each other's bodies. But
yeah, that's a lot of, to a degree, but there's also like a lot of nonsense in that.
Exactly, because there are women who just believe that they know, and they really don't.
They don't.
They don't ask because they think they know.
That's it. It's the same thing. People who have a lot of sex think they know a lot about sex.
Exactly.
And essentially, often they don't.
Yeah. So within the space, I think I do prefer women, well, experiences with women. It's just something that I really enjoy,
And in the black community of kink, more men as doms, more women as subs, more women as doms. How does that one how does that one go?
Yeah,
a lot of women as subs. Yeah, I and then there's like a shortage of actual like actual really proper good dons.
Mm.
And yeah, it's really strange. Not many dominant women, but they are out there. And the only problem, I think, in that space is white men, old white men who fetishize black women.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Well, I have to tell you that last night we had a gathering at Cliff Central. Uh-huh. And every now and then everybody who has shows meet and we talk about some things. And I mentioned to a couple of people that we were going to do this interview today. And there were some very interesting kind of comments. And the one that came out was, this would be such a wonderful way to redress some political wrongs.
Oh, wow. There's actually a woman who used to go around doing that on Twitter.
Mm.
She was a white woman who I think identified as a sub.
Yeah.
And she used to specifically target black people.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to sub for black people as her sort of reparations.
Yeah.
Which is, it was,
you should
really
see the facial expressions again.
It was so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Because she'd almost invade your space.
You.
Mm. And
she'd harass you.
And like literally ask to live with you and work for you. And you're just like, no, I don't even know who you are, you know. And, you know, there's almost that obsessive, it's a really, you know, it always comes across as dangerously obsessive.
Mm.
Yeah.
And unhealthy. And you just almost want to go, I think you need to talk to somebody.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a very, the way it's done, it's not charming at all.
Mm.
And I don't know, people might think it's charming, but constantly being harassed and, you know, I know I'm black. I know I'm black. I'm beautiful. I know this. I don't need you to tell me every 5 seconds, you know, and that's you just find yourself constantly being reminded of it. And, you know, there's two dynamics to it. And I noticed there's almost a sense of, you know, and I think maybe they don't intend for it to come across as that, but it's almost still a reminder that socially I am still regarded as better than you.
Mm.
And even though I'm doing this, take me because I'm actually doing you a favor. Mm. And that's usually what comes up when a sub is constantly pestering you on the basis that they're white and you're black and they need to serve you. It's almost as if, listen, I'm socially still, you know, I'm still regarded as a white man and it's a great thing. And the fact that I'm willing to serve you is like,
you should be honored.
You should be honored.
And that's less about kind of the kink aspect.
Exactly.
Get out of my kink. Get out of my place. Right. Get out of my bed.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's an interesting kind of perception that a lot of black couples in relationships are doing very different things sexually. Like black men have always kind of claimed a different level of sexual freedom that their partners haven't always had. In the kink community, are people kind of playing together as couples? Are they exploring differently?
Well, I don't know if it would be specifically in the black community, because I do think, as you know, as gender comes across, men have always had more freedom than women sexually. You know, women have for years and centuries been taught that your purpose as a woman is to please your man sexually. So it is a thing right now that I think I love seeing a lot more women taking control of their sexuality, taking control of the experiences that they want to and enjoy having. And you see a lot more men actually becoming frustrated at that, that, oh, you guys don't know what you want. And it's like, no, we know exactly what we want. You just don't want to listen because it's not matching what you can offer.
Mm.
So I think I'm just, right now, within not even kink, not even within black people in kink, I'm just really, really loving seeing a lot more women coming out as people who enjoy their sex lives, enjoy kink, enjoy, you know, experiencing things that they would never have experienced if they had not tried to take control of that. So that's, I think, what I'm enjoying the most.
I think seeing a lot more women demand better sex from their partners and, you know, I mean, before it was, you know, I'm just gonna have sex and roll over and die, you know. And now it's like more women, I think, are even, you know, a lot of more guys are, well, not a lot more.
Whoa. Tiny bit more.
Yeah. There are some guys who are actually, you know, they're actually starting to realize that, wait, hang on. She's not playing around when she says, if I don't get what I need to get, I'm
the shop's closed.
You know.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I think in South Africa, and I, you know, the conversations that happen on Twitter sometimes leave me going, oh my goodness, how do you even have girlfriends? Because I still think a lot of the young guys still have this perception that they are the prize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do anything more than just show exist.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even show up. Just exist.
Just be there. Breathe. And I should be turned
I'm
here.
I'm a man. Whoa. You know, and, you know, and I just, I really hope over the next couple of years we're going to be able to just, you know, change them, you know, rebalance the scales a bit and be like, no, you can't get off with the bare minimum. You actually need to learn and put work in.
So are you guys actively kind of promoting, are you, let's call you kink activists? Are you?
I love that.
Would you consider yourselves that?
No.
Zeho, I don't agree with that. Yeah. Zeho, I was in a book launch and you were speaking quite openly about, you know, exclusive books, the middle of whatever, Hyde Park, and you're sitting there and standing and you're just talking about kink and about how amazing it is to have a choice and so on and to be involved with something that you don't want to put away. Well, your parents, you said your grandparents, actually.
My grandparents, yes. My grandparents saw a TV show where I was speaking about kink.
Oh, yeah?
They didn't say anything about the content of the show, just that I spoke really well. So I was like, okay, let's leave the conversation there.
And you recently published?
Yeah. So I'm in Yolisa Kunda. She edited a book called Writing What We Like, and I wrote a piece a couple of years ago, actually, on, you know, my experiences with being submissive. I was very new to everything, and I was just experiencing my first real dom sub relationship, and I was just head over heels in love, and then they broke my heart. So yeah,
that happens there too.
Yes. And I feel like it's really, it impacts me worse when it is within the space of BDSM. When a breakup happens, it impacts me worse than a regular, in inverted commas, relationship. So
can you explain why?
So within that relationship, I just felt like there were a lot of things that I didn't know about myself that came up in that dynamic, which is something that I'm really thankful to my dom for. You know, he was probably one of the best doms I've ever had, in terms of he was able to, when D was talking about the psychological aspect of it, our relationship was only psychological because he lived in America, I lived in South Africa. We've never met. This was all online. Wow. And it was probably a relationship that still impacts me and how I think about myself as a sub, myself even as just a woman. So when that breakup happened, it just impacted me more because it wasn't a thing that I had ever known, and learning with someone in that way, it was wow. So I wrote about that. And yeah, so that's the piece that was published.
Because that's one of the purposes of any journey into conscious sexuality, is that it becomes a vehicle and a tool and a space for growth, for personal exploration, for personal development. Yeah. And being in the bondage world, as either as a dom or a sub, offers so many opportunities for that, because it takes us often very deep into ourselves, very deep into a lot of the shadow stuff, because we really have to own a lot of who we are. And that's what you were talking about when it goes so far beyond purely the physical aspect. Because I remember years ago, I met a woman who was a dom. And she said one of the truest things to me that I've never forgot. She said, anybody can hurt anybody on a purely physical level. Anybody can pick up a cane, can cane anybody. It's going to be painful. But to really understand kind of more of the essence of that, how you get into somebody's mind, how you make that connection, how you get into their heart, that's the power of the experience. And that goes so far beyond the physical.
I think, and I'm going to share a story, but it's basically, you know, way before I'd even started sort of doing the physical exploration, I'll never forget, I made an ex cry. And I'll never forget that feeling. And I felt no remorse whatsoever. But to know that I had that much power, particularly over a man, I'll never forget that feeling. And now that I can practice doing that in a much safer space, so that it's safe for me, it's safe for that person, and I'm not, you know, I'm not just being reckless with my words, it's so much more liberating. But it's also so great to know that you can have such a deep psychological impact on somebody and still manage to create a safe space that they can come back from that edge.
Yeah.
You know, and that for me is a big fascination, is knowing that you can push a sub right to a point where they're feeling whatever they're feeling in that space, and still be the one who manages to pull them back without ever causing like hectic or actually any damage. Mm. But for them to experience what it is that they need at that level and still be okay afterwards. Mm. And I'm really glad I discovered kink because I found a way, and that's why I say I'm, you know, dom and sub, because I really enjoy that power. I really, really do. And it's just great to know that I can practice in a safe space and I'm not necessarily going around, you know, hurting people and saying things, being reckless and, you know, a bitch.
When you move into an experience as a sub, how different is that for you? Where does that take you to?
I really rather prefer my experience as a sub to be more physical than psychological. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that's the big difference, is I do like being flogged and spanked. Mm. And but when it comes to the psychological part of it, I like to maintain my own control. Mm. So it's not a big deal for me. It's just, you know, spank me, let's do, you know, tie me up, you know, let's do fun things. But the moment it gets to the psychological part, I think I just shut down, because for me that is a very delicate place for me, and I just don't prefer going there unless I really trust somebody. And I haven't really found somebody who I think has managed to maintain a dominance. So I had a dom and apart from other reasons or other issues, the one thing that stuck out for me was how easy he was on me, and I didn't enjoy that, and I don't like that, which is why I say if it's physical, it's fine. If we're going to take it to the next level, I really need you to match my I think I'm a very resilient person psychologically, so it doesn't take a lot it takes a lot for you to be able to assert, you can fake it, and I don't want to have to fake it. I want
that
to
needs
feel
to be
like,
authentic.
I want to feel like you actually deserve and you've earned my submissiveness from a psychological point of view, and I'm yet to meet somebody who can actually maintain, you know, that air of dominance and keep it to the level where I can feel like okay, we're matching, we're psychologically, we're on the same level, and I can actually surrender to you.
Which is the more sexual space for you?
The psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, because I think there's just a lot of tinkering with the mind. And I think for me that is, you can flog, you can hurt anyone. There's nothing in the hurting. It's great, it's nice for the moment, but there's something about a psychological connection that just makes it that much more sexy and hot.
And that comes from deep inside. And that's, you cannot fake that in any way.
And actually, you know, just there's a friend of mine who, is in she's a dominant, and she's never had sex with her sub, ever. And they'll never have sex. But, you know, and it's so true. She was like, you know, it is the, you know, seeing a person that vulnerable, that willing to please you, she's like, I've had orgasms and no one's touched me. It's just seeing a person in that space is so erotic, and it's just so, it's wow.
What are some of your favorite toys?
I don't have that many toys that I like, but I do like pedals. I like pedals a lot.
Okay.
Let me go grab Gareth's one. We have one pedal here in the studio somewhere.
I do enjoy pedals, and I do enjoy bondage a lot because I like not having physical control. But that does take an awful lot for me to get to that point. I haven't tried it yet with my current partner because I'm just like, I'm not ready yet. So, it probably is bondage and paddles. I really like paddles.
Okay.
Wooden ones, leather ones, like both. I prefer leather sometimes, but wooden just, there's something more about the wooden.
And the noise that the wooden paddle makes is amazing. Exactly. Really good.
Something about that.
And
you, Dee?
I like good old-fashioned leather belts. Love them.
Leather belts.
Love them.
I used to talk about this all the time.
Love them. You know, I have a thing. I just,
I know what to get leather. You for a birthday.
I see leather and it's like, woo,
Yes.
So, you know, there's other things. Bites. There's floggers. There's everything. But leather is it. And I feel like it, because it's also such a versatile, you know, tool.
Yeah.
It works. But love leather.
So if we could look at the bigger picture of some of the kink communities around the world, how much more integrated are they than we are here?
Not very.
I don't think they are very.
Because I have a group that I'm part of there in the US.
Okay.
And all black ladies. Yeah. And they all go to mostly black kink parties. So there's a huge black BDSM scene happening in the
Did
US.
You find them in, so in like in FetLife?
Or no, actually Twitter.
Twitter's magic.
Yeah.
Twitter. And it's been interesting, you know, and none of them, I think, none of them have ever been with anyone outside of the black community.
Yeah.
They have full, solid, proper communities there. And it's so, I don't know. Integration.
Yeah,
no,
that's
really.
That. My experience as well with people in America was all black people. So I wouldn't even know where to start. I think it's just the thing that probably most kink communities are struggling with right now, trying to integrate the two. But it does come from a place where a lot of black kink groups are black kink groups because they didn't find a space that would welcome them. So they decided, okay, let's create our own. So it does, I would like it to be more integrated, but if it comes at the expense of my comfort, I'm perfectly fine with the way it is now. Yeah.
I would like to suggest a theory that it has to do with your trust, but primal trust circle. So there's something but reading a facial expression or trusting some kind of, maybe you want to call it something that you recognize in your brain, like back home, or something that in the most basic moment that you will need to communicate, it will be easier for you to communicate, to trust somebody like yourself. It's horrible to say. I'm saying it from a purely mind, you know, our brain will always looks for something similar to trust and to feel comforted or just protected. So only once you establish trust and you get, you know, you can actually have a group of people that is connected through what they really truly believe in the kink world, maybe then you can create the integrated groups. That's from an experience, like we all started to explore here from a place of wanting to know what it is. It wasn't like we knew we are doms.
Yeah.
It didn't start from like, you know, we were born with a belt in our hands. Sorry, Dee, maybe you. But maybe it has to do with that. But I'm sure there are some, you know, some areas we can learn from how.
I think the other part of it might be, you know, because BDSM is such, you know, there's the whole slave master thing. And I can't help but link it also to, you know, white people, black people, our past, especially in America. It would make sense for me to think, you know, the dynamics between having, and I've seen it so many times come up, the dynamics between when race play is part of the picture and, the slave master dynamic then becomes
it's very
complicated. And even for people within the community, it's very difficult for them to process. So I think that might also contribute to the lack of integration. It's just the amount of judgment and within and just like, you know, what it means to you to be dominated by a white person.
So do you think that because in South Africa we have we do have a lot of very open political discussion, we do have a lot of very open communication, do you think that would make some of that easier?
I'm not sure. Because, I mean, I think we still have that problem. I mean, the number of times guys on FetLife have, black guys have thought, have mistaken me for a white woman. And it's almost disturbing. Again, the way it's the exact same way that middle-aged white men will come and approach you. It's that obsessive, hi, I'm a black person. I really want to serve you as a white woman. And there's just, it's so uncomfortable given our history. For me, it just makes me incredibly uncomfortable that there are people who, you know, are so adamant that this is the dynamic they want, because then you have to question other things beyond just the kink factor. What kind of emotional and psychological things are just underlying that?
So nothing's happening in a vacuum there. And it's still, you know, an incredibly sad thing that the differentiation in it is our skin color rather than what we might have to offer the situation and who we are and what we could bring to an experience.
Because yeah, exactly. It's not I'm a sub who wants to serve you. It's I'm a black sub and I want you to be my white mistress. Mm. And it's yeah. like, okay, first of all, I'm not white, but also, whoa, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It's a very, very...
It really adds fascinating layers to the experience. Mm. Wow.
I think just like in any sort of kink that a person might have, you have to always go back to interrogating why you're into what you're into.
Mm.
So if it comes from a place where if you're a person who thinks about race play and you've interrogated why you enjoy it, I'm perfectly fine with that. But when you're coming into my space and seeming like you're just using race as your kink,
as an excuse,
that's not my thing.
In
yeah.
a way.
So why should we ever go into a space or into a dynamic knowing that we're being fetishized? It's always going to make everyone feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
When you're being fetishized as a woman, then you're being fetishized as a black woman, then you're being fetishized as a black woman by white people.
Mm.
There's always a step further, because even black men fetishize us as kinky black women,
yeah.
because it's just like, oh, you're that
big
girl, and
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
yeah.
What do you do? What do you do when you get? When you get?
Oh,
that?
I just shut them down.
Shut them down.
Yeah, mm. because I'm not interested in you coming into my space thinking you've watched 50 Shades of Grey once and now you know everything there is about BDSM.
Yeah, which is always sad, because so many people have had some. They've watched something and they think, now I really know what's going on.
Yeah,
and that was such a bad representation, but
yeah.
we know that. But I love that what you say, because more and more in every workshop, every retreat, every lesson, I talk so much more about bring it back to yourself, to what are you getting from it?
Exactly.
Why are you here?
Mm.
Even in relationship, like what are you getting from being in this relationship?
Mm.
Why is it important to you? And the kink world is probably even more important to do
yeah.
that in, because of the clarity that you need to have on that. One of my friends and colleagues overseas, Galen Fuss, I don't know if you've read his book, it's called Decoding Your Kink.
Mm-hmm.
Highly, highly recommend it. And so much is about owning your authenticity
mm-hmm.
in that before you can actually really do anything.
Yeah,
it's important.
And mm. Yeah,
because I mean, even just as a submissive woman, you do get, I remember speaking to a lot of black women within the kink space,
mm.
they told me, don't find a dom until you know what you want from that dom.
Mm.
So it does become a thing of, as soon as people find out something that they really interested in, they just want to dive right
mm.
into it without interrogating why they want to dive into
mm.
it.
Mm.
So it is just a thing of whether you're in kink, not BDSM, whether you're just having your vanilla sex,
mm.
you just always need to go back to the fact that, why does this make me feel the way it makes
mm.
me feel, and how can I get to a point where, you know, that matches with the person
mm.
I'm trying to do it with? Because
mm.
it's not just always about me, it's always as well, as much as I like something, it has to match,
it has to be reciprocal
mm.
as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So on a bigger scale, what kind of resources are available for people exploring this, and what resources are available to black people exploring? I mean, we know that the internet gives us so many options today
mm,
in the digital world. There's
mm.
so much that you can. But a lot of stuff that's out there is actually sometimes quite dangerous
exactly.
and is
yeah.
just full stop wrong, the information that people give.
Yeah.
What is available in South Africa?
Geez, I can't even think.
Yeah. I think what
Twitter.
Helped me. Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Twitter.
I was going
Twitter.
To say Twitter is finding people who you feel comfortable enough to ask those questions to. Because as much as we can recommend a website or a book, sometimes you don't know if that person's politics and identity
yeah.
match with yours.
Mm.
So if you try find someone who, like Tamar was saying, that is as close to or as like-minded as you can, ask them questions, interrogate why they like certain things. Try to explore because what I did, I probably annoyed the hell out of D.
No,
I used to DM D all the time, and I was
yeah.
just like, okay, so this is what I found, and this is what really interests me about it. What do you think about it? This is what I think about it, and find an exchange. I feel like that's probably one of the safest ways to do it. But then obviously you do have the people who are just completely bullshitty, and they just don't care about what information they send out there. So it is trying to figure out what you want and then finding other people who can give you that information.
Yeah. So I'd love for you to be involved with us at Sexpo.
Okay.
Because, you know, so many black people come to Sexpo.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of black people, it's like the hugest thing, because it's the first time they've done anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes the first time that they've been in an open space where there are possibilities, where you can ask questions, where you can look at things, where you can explore. And as a resource, and just to be able to talk to people, is so important. Because really, to help people begin a journey or get some resources or just some information or questions to think about. Because that's one of the biggest things is how do you bring this up with your partner? What are the questions that you actually start with? You know, how do you bring that up? And that becomes absolutely fascinating. Mm. And for different groups of people, those questions might actually be different questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Do you find yourself answering a lot of people? Like, are you a little guru of...
It's like the kink guru in SA.
I do get a lot of, surprisingly, a lot of queries from guys. Mm. And I think they're just curious about, they probably, you know, have always grown up in that environment where you're the guy, you're in charge. You know. And, you know, a lot of them have just sort of been like, okay, so, but like, what does it mean?
Yes.
I'm the one who's submissive. What do you expect? So I'm like, okay, first of all, nothing from you, but, so a lot of guys, black guys actually ask me a lot of questions, goes down in the DMs.
Yes.
but also a lot of ladies who I feel have a lot more experience than I do. But they still, I don't know why.
It's the way you carry yourself. Just,
And
you got the power, man.
Yes.
You got the power.
But it's very interesting to be able to sort of get a look into where people are on their journey and what questions they have. And it's always, you know, it's always, it always varies from, okay, I just want my boyfriend to do this and then we move on to this versus somebody who's like, okay, I've got a master, we're fine. I just need to add a bit of flavor. Or just like, you know, we've got a routine, it's fine, but I'm starting to get bored. So how do I bring a little excitement back into
it? So like on any sexual and sensual journey, having a guide, a mentor, resource material does become so important. Because one of the single biggest issues in any sexual relationship is boredom.
And
the kink relationships are no different. Because how many times can you tie somebody up in the same way and spank them in the same way? Exactly. And then what do you do? And that's where you have to learn and keep exploring.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that it's very interesting to come across people and be able to, you know, just give them a different perspective as well. Because I think when you keep it just a lot between the two of you, you sort of lose, sight of what else is possible because you're so used to whatever it is that you're doing and it becomes almost the norm and deviating seems almost like slightly uncomfortable even in kink, you know. There's, you have your boundaries, you have your limits, and going beyond that might seem a bit intimidating. So it's always nice to have somebody that, you know, you can use as a sounding board to be like, okay, what can I try, what can I change or do differently, or how can we just rearrange our routine so that it's less A, B, C, D report, A, B, C, D report, you know, just mix it up again.
This has been fascinating, and I thank you both so much for sharing. It really is special. It really, really is. And it's a conversation that I would love to go deeper into in the future.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We will put this on, we will put your contact details on the website, but if people want to talk to you, where do they do that?
On Twitter.
Yes, Twitter. And your handle is?
My handle is Mbongo Muffin, so it's M-B-O-N-G-O and the word muffin.
D?
And my handle, I'll spell it out. It's D-E-E-S-E-D-E-E.
So and we will put that up on the website.
Cool.
And thank you so much. Really, this is so important.
Thank you for having
I'm
us.
So grateful to share this with you guys. Thank
great
you.
Great conversation to have.
Are you tired of your gym routine? With summer just around the corner, Movement X is here to help you change the way you train your body in new fun ways. The Trendy Studios offer a unique range of specialized fun workouts such as boxing, Apex, Extreme, Pilates, BarX, and yoga, all designed to burn fat and build muscle. For the period of July, Movement X is offering all new clients a free 7-day trial period. Email info@movementx.co.za for more information. Movement X, explore fitness, experience change. Go to movementx.co.za for more info.
Fascinating conversation on so many levels, so many different dynamics coming into that.
Stimulating in so many ways, and not only my organs.
Definitely something to explore more of.
Totally.
The feminist side, the political side.
Do we still have a moment to chat?
We don't.
No, oh, sure. All right.
We don't. 63.
63.
Our dirty dictionary word, 63.
When you're still learning to count, but you're already doing it.
It's when you've learned to count and you can count more than two. So 63 is oral sex with three people.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, okay. It's like, so it's like a daisy chain.
Like a small daisy chain.
Yeah, okay.
So that would be interesting. Like, what's the amount for a daisy chain? And we've had this discussion. Like, when you go from, so a twosome, a couple is a couple, and then there's a threesome, and then there's like four people. So when does it get to orgy status? And we said, what, five or more? Six or more?
I think it started from five.
Five kind of gets into that.
It gets, because it is. It's usually a dynamic that already allows so much more possibilities.
That's it. Yeah. So the 63 would be like a complete closed circle.
I was really not on the ball on that one.
I thought it just figuratively.
Yeah, I thought that you just, you kind of, maybe you lick the, you go for the ass, or maybe you go creative on the other person. Mm. But okay, cool. Much better. Three people, much more options.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's a 63.
Awesomeness.
There we go.
Unbelievable. Mm. So yeah, you can, if you look at our Twitter feed, you'll see there Bongo Muffin, which you can contact her. The other Twitter handle that Dee gave us was maybe you need to ask for friendship because it's kind of like a private one. But more questions, we'll put it, we'll stick it up on the podcast page. You can ask questions about kink in South Africa, as kink as an empowering thing. Yeah.
Mm. So up next is Casper and his team.
His big team.
His big team. It looks like lots of interesting people there today, which is pretty cool. We wish you all so much pleasure. We hope that you have a kinky weekend.
Yeah, kinky conscious.
Absolutely.
Conscious, kinky, so, feminist.
Yeah, and what are the three words for kinky play? Safe, sane, and consensual. Lots of pleasure. We will be back with you next Friday. Going to be interesting what comes up in the week.
Yeah, well, definitely. We'll have to pick up this one again.
I think so. Mm. Lots of pleasure, everybody, and thank you for sharing with us.
Have a good one.
This is CliffCentral.com.